CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Friday's program. Hey, it's exciting to be with all of you today. Looking forward for all of us to grow in the Lord a little bit more. You know, every time you crack the Bible open, you're going to grow in Jesus. You know, the Bible says He transforms us from the inside out. Oh, for so many years, religion tried to change us from the outside in. Oh, if we could just stuff them hippies into a three-piece suit. Oh, if we could just get them to cut their hair. Oh, if we could just get these girls, you know, wearing dresses again. You know, it's so amazing to me that the wonderful work that God does, He does from the inside. Friends, this is the difference between Christianity and churchianity. And we have been inundated in our culture globally as well with churchianity. Well, what does the Bible really have to say about that topic? And what does the Bible have to say about that topic tempered with love? You see, the letter of the law, the Bible says, kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so if we don't know God, we won't know love. And if we don't know love, we won't know how to execute the things in God's word. You see, we can be very, very overhanded with people. We can be very, very hard on people. So this is why I believe, again, the greatest of these is love. Friends, I believe it's so important that everything we do should have that air of God's love in our ministry, in our step, in our conversation, because the Bible says He's a silent listener. And oh man, does God listen. And the Bible says He rewards those who diligently seek Him. What a great promise we have from God. We set this time aside answering questions about the Bible from the Bible. Hey, give us a call. Maybe you come across something you don't understand. This is why we're here, to bless you. And again, as you guys call up, I'm blessed as well. And so is my guest today. We have with us Brad Dacus from pji.org. representing people like you and me, attorney at law against unfair laws and practices. So if you have a legal question today, today's your day to call, because he's going to be able to give you some good free legal advice on what to do about that particular topic. Welcome, Brad.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thank you.
Always a blessing to be with you and the great things that God is doing. Hey, very quickly, before we go to the phones, again, that number, 8888. ASK-CSN is the number to call. But Brad, real quick, what's your latest cases here? Because so many things are going on.
Yeah, I will tell you, I was just recently in Washington, D.C. I was meeting with some people there to discuss something that could help really further parental rights on a national basis. So it was very encouraging. I can't go into any more details than just that, but I will tell you, we have incredible challenges. We have 280 cases in active litigation coast to coast. But at the same time, we see incredible opportunities on a federal level. So we're hopeful for that. I encourage people to pray for our work at Pacific Justice Institute. We see some fantastic possibility in terms of religious freedom, addressing public schools, the sanctity of human life, and parental rights, you know, specifically. So it's really encouraging.
Amen. You know, it's always exciting just to see what God does. You know, I tell everybody everywhere, you know, once you become born again, the purpose of your life changes. And that's what's so absolutely incredible. Paul says, no longer I live, but Christ who lives within me. And, you know, I realize that we have been put on this earth, not as a cosmic accident, but divine appointment to do God's will. And oftentimes, you know, we think, oh, that's unlucky or this or that. Hey, listen, if you're a born-again child of God, nothing has happened to you by accident. Well, what kind of a God would allow this to happen to me? Hey, He's building something in you that you're going to use later on in your life. I have found sometimes study lessons are hard learned. I remember back when I was in high school, man, I hated algebra. I never used really algebra through high school. But you know, it's funny when you do engineering on radio stations, actually you do use it. And so what I'm saying is that as miserable oftentimes it is to go through the lesson down the road on this road we call life, we're gonna find purposes for those things that God has allowed us to go through. The Bible says to comfort one another with the comfort that you've received, which tells me if we didn't have issues or problems in our life, we wouldn't need comforting. But that's the very thing I'm to comfort somebody else with. And so, Brad, I'm so glad you're with us today. Look forward to answering some questions with you. And again, if you have a legal question, today's your day. And Brad will be with us to answer those questions for you. And so, again, 8888, Ask CSN. We're going to go to the phones. We have Monty on the line. Seacom, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking me.
How may we help?
I'm kind of nervous here.
Don't be nervous.
I'm 75. I'm also an evangelist, and I've done prison ministry in Northwest Washington. What I'm getting at is Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. When you make a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, and he has no pleasures in fool. Then down to verse 6, it says, suffer not your mouth your flesh to sin. I told you I'm nervous. Neither say before the angel that it was an error. I'm going to go to Psalms 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fears him and delivers them from all their fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Jesus I'm taking, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is, I'll just get to the point. My wife has dementia. We've been married 54 years. I'm falling apart. I tried to sell the house, and she wanted and didn't want to. I'm mm-hmm. living in a reality I've never thought I'd live in. I'm a Vietnam vet.
Wow. Thank you.
And I'm disabled. I'm sorry.
That's all right,
but
man.
Anyways, what I'm getting at is, I guess I was supposed to get in this day because I'm trying to find out, how can I handle this? I've been going on 15 years now. It's getting worse. And I won't go through everything that's going on, but how can I get power of attorney over her? It's just getting terrible. She won't go get help. She refuses to get help for dementia or Alzheimer's. She's got dementia. It's bad. And she refuses to do that. I'll give you one example. I'm trying to talk to her, and all of a sudden she just starts humming and walking away. And it's like, I don't know where I'm living anymore. We've been living here in Washington now for 25 years in this house, 21. And God has opened up the door for me in California to be with Christian television programs, be on TV, be on radio. That's all God's glory. And then he opened up the door for me to go to prison ministry years ago in 2008. And then it was turned over to me. I don't come from mainline denomination. I come from a Jewish background, messianic, filled with the Spirit, loves Christ, study all the time, and I'm having a hard time.
Brother, my heart goes out to you, because I what I hear in your voice is you're trying to be a really good husband in spite of your wife's dementia. Understanding here in Ecclesiastes, you know, that we're talking about verse 4 through 6, I think it's so important because, you know, asking about the vows that we make before God, even our wedding vows. But, you know, it is interesting to me when you ask about verse 6 again, it says, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Now, if you go back one verse, it says it's better not to vow than to make a vow and not pay. I don't want to lie to God. I just don't want to lie to God. But you know, one thing that I do know, there's no sin that we've ever committed that God won't forgive us for, unless it's the ultimate rejection of the Holy Spirit, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is that call of the Holy Spirit for us to repent from the lifestyle that we're in. You look at the prodigal son, living with the pigs in the pigsty, had a good at home, but he wanted to go off and do his own thing. And yet he came to his senses. And I believe that senses is spawned by the Holy Spirit. Hey, go home. Go home. And so he went home. If he would have just said, nah, I'm just going to sit here and die in the pigs, I think he would have died with the pigs. The good news is God forgives us of everything. And you know, when we're dealing in a situation where you have a wife that is becoming more and more, if not already, completely mentally incapacitated to make decisions, Brad, what would you say is the best avenue that he could take to be power of attorney?
The best avenue for power of attorney, I mean, he needs to definitely talk to an attorney to have that done. That's very important. And, you know, there's a certain degree of cognitive capacity that someone needs to have to make that kind of to sign that kind of a document. So I would move on that right away, very, very quickly. My heart goes out to you. It's really tough and yet your love for your wife and your love for God is going to be give you the grace to go through this. I know, but it's going to be very, very difficult. Also, I also want to encourage you to be open to different methodologies to help your wife and going through this from a medical perspective. For example, I know of a man whose wife I met him in Alabama, and his wife had he was Alzheimer's and very lethargic, and he went and took advantage of a treatment that I told him about in Florida. And that week, his wife said, or his he sent back a text saying, "The sun has risen. My wife has made a huge improvement." It's not going to take. You can't reverse it. Per se, I mean, you can't, you know, get rid of this condition, but there are things that you can do that could help as well. And of course, having a church body that can support you during the whole process, that's real important as well.
So does that help?
Excuse me, that's a problem. We don't have a church that'll back us. That's the problem around here. Okay, I'm going to let you just know. I get up like between midnight and 4 o'clock in the morning, just so I can have peace out in the garage and get my thoughts together and pray to God. But otherwise than that, I'm just falling apart inside, and I keep it out away from her inside so she don't see on the outside what's going on. But I just literally fall apart in the middle of the night, you know. But we don't have a church that'll back us anymore. We've been basically pushed out of two four square churches, and she won't go back. She wanted to go Catholic church, and she don't go there. Mm. But I understand. I have already checked. I've got an attorney that I have talked to, and they said mental incompetency is really hard to prove this way with somebody like this. It's really hard to prove. And to be able to do it, I don't know what to do. My hands are just thrown up.
Well, in talking to her, like if she was in an office meeting, would it manifest there? Is there something that obviously gives it away that she isn't there, or I just don't want to be here, and gets up and walks out of the meeting? Is there anything that would manifest?
It would manifest, but you can't get her there. I've been trying to get her for months to go in and see a doctor, really for years and that. And she goes, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not mentally ill. You leave me alone.
Okay, Brad, your thoughts.
Yeah, that's very, very difficult because people often who have dementia, Alzheimer's, are to some degree in denial. They don't know how they're coming across. They're often not aware of it. You're in a really tough situation. Once again, I would I'd look into to churches to help you to find support. Sometimes people will listen to people other than their spouse. A friend or someone that they know. It sounds like, you know, you still have the potential of have power of attorney. You need to have something like that in place. I encourage everyone listening to this broadcast right now, they don't have a trust, they should have a trust and probably and a power of attorney. is something that should be a part of that package, because things happen, and if you don't have the degree of cognitive capacity, it's hard to sign that. And she's the one who needs to give that power of attorney authority, for you to be able to have to deal with this situation. Down the road, you could go into court and have a guardianship set up potentially. That could be very difficult. You need an attorney for that there as well. And you're located where in California, you said?
Washington. No, we're in Washington, Swim, Washington. We're on the Olympic Peninsula, west of Seattle.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a really tough situation. I wish I had an easy answer for you, but you need support. You need legal assistance. You need a church body to come around and to help you and help you work through this as you do. So many Americans go through this every year, and you can't go it alone. That's for sure. You definitely need support to help you, and it also to give you a break at times, which you talked about. You there's obviously a need for that just in talking to you now. So I want to pray for you, if I may.
Yeah, Brad, we need to pray for him. Is there anything, Brad, that you think Health and Human Services could help him here in this particular thing? Because, probably 65% of the people who really need help will fight anybody that's trying to help them. I found this with many people that I know are elderly, and you're trying to help them, and I mean, to the point where they'll slug you in the face. So is there anything you think that could be done to help him get some kind of medical analysis on this?
Yeah, and you could call your local social worker agency. The state agency, I'm sure, has a— the state has an agency, department that helps with in these situations where you've got people who, for different reasons, do not have mental capacity to care for themselves or to make decisions, and then you can all they may help you work through the issue of getting guardianship in terms of being able to make those decisions. So I would you might want to call it contact social workers. I'm not real big on social workers because I see them do so much harm and taking children they shouldn't take, but in this kind of a situation, they might actually be helpful to you in dealing with this. But you can't go it alone. That's the main thing. You need to understand this is going to be tough, and this is why the church body is important. And there's, I'd like to think there's a church body there that's— or individuals that can will be willing to help you, work with you, encourage you. That's what the body's for, is to help each other when we can't help ourselves, when we can't stand on our own. So I want to pray for you right now.
Yeah, go ahead, Brad, and I'll agree in prayer that God does a miracle in this situation. Certainly, Monty needs one.
Father, we lift up Monty to you right now and his situation, Lord. You know what he's having to go through. You know what his wife is going through. Father, we want to pray for a potential healing or deferment of her situation. I pray for extra wisdom for Monty in terms of both medically as well as legally, and also the support from the spiritual, as far as the church goes. Yes, and believers. You made us to need one another, to need you, but also to, as a body, to encourage each other and to help each other. And we pray, Lord, that maybe there's someone listening to this broadcast right now that says, "Hey, I'm in that area. I want to help him." If so, Lord, we pray encourage them to contact CSN, and so we can forward their information on to Monty and to let him know. But we understand you know all things, and we just ask you, Father, to use us for your glory, use us to build faith, to encourage, and to provide what's needed in this situation, because you know it, Father, and we can call upon you. You're our Abba, you're our Daddy, you're our Father.
Yes, God.
You love us, you care for us, and we can call upon you as we do right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our prayers are with you. And like I say, I think I'd try to get a hold of maybe some of your, maybe, Health and Human Services, see what they would direct you there. That would be basically free. And then somehow to gain control of your finances, because it's obvious that you know, as from what you say, that there's something wrong. And I just want to encourage you that God's with you and will help you through it. And so if you need us, Monty, we're here for you, okay?
Thank you very much.
God bless you. And remember, there's other churches in the area. You might want to check those out, because the body of Christ is much bigger than a couple of buildings. So check that out. 8888, Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. Today we have Colleen on the line in Las Vegas. Hi and welcome.
Hi, pastors. I just want to ask a question. My friend sent me something about Revelation 5 and 8, and she says that the people in heaven, like our loved ones and the saints, are praying for us. I didn't even know. I've never heard that.
I've never heard that either. That's not what goes on. I don't really believe that the, at least at this point right now, it might change during the tribulation period, but right now, that the people that have gone to heaven look back into this earth. I believe the Bible says it's a place of no sorrow, no pain. And I can't imagine a parent in heaven looking down and seeing their wayward daughter or their wayward son doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So I would say that that's not a true statement. Again, this is why God has left ministry primarily up to us human beings that are alive. Now we find some supernatural things happening during the tribulation period. Of course, you have the angels flying through the midst of heaven, warning people on the earth not to take the mark of the beast. But the 144,000 Jews that are servants of God during the tribulation, because the church is gone, you never find the church mentioned in Revelation on the earth. After chapter 3, we're found in heaven in chapters 4 and 5. God's never without a witnesses. And of course, the two saints that come back, prophets that minister in the streets of Jerusalem, plus those that are saved during the tribulation period. I believe a lot of the reasons why they're being beheaded for their faith is their noisy little sunbeams. They're telling people about the Lord during the, hey, this guy's not the Christ, he's the Antichrist. And I believe that a lot of the martyrs will be simply from telling people the truth about the days they're living in. And so, again, I believe that's not sound doctrine, where someone says, well, people in heaven are praying for you. That's very, very poor doctrine. I've never heard that. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, and then you look at the context of the scripture in Revelation 5, verse 8. It says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. So this is not on earth. This is in heaven, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you are slain. You have redeemed us, God, by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And then it talks about then the angels, praising God, and so it's nothing here in this context. It's nothing about them, praying for individuals and they're looking at individuals. No, it's their eyes are on Jesus. And that's what it's going to be. And that's the context here. Their eyes are on the Lord and, lifting him up and giving praise and to the Lord, to God, for what he's done. And, so I think when you look at it as context, it's very clear. It's not them, praying and interceding for individuals and the like, with regards to individuals who died and passed away, who are now praying for people on earth. That's really stretching that interpretation.
Yeah, the prayer of the saints there that's mentioned, those are the ones on earth, and again, not those that are in heaven. Hope that helps. Colleen?
Perfect. Thank you.
God bless you, and thank you so much for the call. And 8888, AskCSN is the number to call. And very quickly, Brad, you know, you've been doing PJI, Pacific Justice Institute, you and your great team of lawyers helping people across America continually, whether it be one of the calls we had and they had to go. And I want to just are people overemphasizing the danger of the COVID shot? You've had a lot of lawsuits over this, the aftermath of this particular shot has just been devastating to so many people. So no, I don't think it's been over exaggerated at all. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's not been overly exaggerated at all. And in fact, I'm glad that RFK Jr. Is doing research. They're studying the actual evidence. Fortunately, we've discovered that some of this was been held back by the CDC, by Dr. Fauci. So I think that we're going to see more information. But the information that's been released, it's appalling and shocking to see how many people have long-term issues or even fatal consequences because of reactions to this very, very controversial quote unquote vaccine. It's been very shocking. I know about a dozen people that have personally been impacted seriously by it. And that's just myself. So people need to be very wise and discerning and be very careful when it comes to anything related to the COVID vaccines.
Yeah, not tested, not ran through the proper channels yet, pencil whipped through, caused a lot of damage. Hey, everybody, we're coming up on a break. We don't want you to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who do not have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of Preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives, and when you save a life at a Preborn Network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Do our times have you down? Are you feeling perplexed and you sense we're in perilous times? And where can you find the truth? I'm Jan Markell. I have the answer to all those questions. Listen to Understanding the Times Radio right here on the CSN Network. I'll help you understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall, Saturdays, noon Pacific, 1 Mountain, 2 Central, 3 Eastern time on the CSN Network.
Do you ever wish the Scripture would be connected to your world today? The NIV Application Bible, published by Zondervan, pairs a deeper understanding of the ancient biblical text with contemporary application of the lessons found within it, offering you a new way to understand what the Word of God means for your life. The features are laid out using an engaging, full-color page design with maps and charts. Make the Bible personal, helping you to integrate the Bible's teachings into your everyday life. The NIV Application Bible, published by Zondervan.
Welcome back to part two of Temperman Answer here on this Friday as we wrap up this week. Hey, by the way, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, love to see you at church this Sunday, River Christian Fellowship. Just follow the signs to Shoshone Falls, and you'll find us about a block or so, a mile away from the majestic Niagara of the West. We'd love to see you here, and we're going to be looking again at the heroes of faith, really the champions of faith that we find listed there in Hebrews chapter 11. And what made them champions? Was it that they had perfect lifestyles and never had a problem, or the opposite, where they people just like you and me that just happened to fall in love with God and to prove that God was greater than the things they did wrong. Boy, I'll tell you, it's great encouragement. Like to have you here. If you're not able to attend in person at 10 o'clock, you can pick us up on the radio anywhere in the world on the World Wide Web. And of course, on the hundreds and hundreds of CSN stations across the United States, 10:30 Mountain Time. Love to have you there. Look forward to being with you. Now, back to the phones we go. We have with us Brad Dacus. And again, if you have a legal question, today's your day. We have Pat on the line in California. Hi, and welcome.
Hi there. That's not a legal question, just a biblical one.
Okay.
Okay, deal with, I got Jehovah Witnesses that are in the family, and I want to know if it would be wrong of me that when I speak with them concerning Jesus and his authority, that if I, you know, I got into one with one, I just want to know if I was wrong for saying it. We talked about, you know, will you pray to Jesus? No, we pray through Jesus. I said, I didn't ask you that, to Jesus. And, well, no, we prayed to him. So I didn't get a straight answer. I said, okay. The thing is, you know, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. So I said, so you've already told me you won't pray to him. How can you come to him? You can't walk up to him. You've got to pray to him. And that's how you come to Jesus. So I want you to know, since you've refused to, that you're without excuse on that day of reckoning when God comes back, or you, when Jesus comes back, and he says, I never knew you because you will not come to him. Was I out of line with saying something like that?
I think you sound pretty right on. And there's a far greater problem. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel and that he is not God. And so what they did is they rewrote the Bible to suit their own belief. And yet, in 2012, in 2013, they rewrote the New World Translation with 10% less words. Isn't it funny? Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And yet they modify the Bible and take 10% of the words away. Pretty scary stuff when you really think about it. You see, Jesus in John 8:58 said, before Abraham was, I am. In the Greek, that is the word ego amini. And it doesn't say I will be or I can be or I what. He says, I am. I am. The same exact words that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. When Moses said, who shall I tell the children of Israel sent me? God said, tell them the I am sent you. Same exact words. Now, of course, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament, but it's the exact same entity. Now, here's the problem. John 8:59, they picked up stones to stone Jesus. Why? He was claiming to be God. They've worked very hard to go through and scrub every bit of deity of Jesus Christ out of the Bible. And they still didn't get them all. There's still some in there. And of course, they'll continue, as they've done for so many decades, to continue to revise the New World Translation, to continue to try to scrub the deity of Jesus away. But he is God. Again, if you go to your Bible, any Bible that you've got, King James as an example, chapter 1 of Matthew, he shall be called Emmanuel. And then this is written in the scripture as well, which translated means, those words, which translated means, is in the Bible. Matthew 1 means God with us. That's who Jesus is. And yet they deliberately tamper with God's word. Another thing, they don't believe in an eternal hell. But yet the book of Jude, chapter 8, verse 8, of chapter, well, there's only one chapter, Jude 8, the verse 8 says they will be tormented with fire eternally. It's very clear. This idea of annihilation, well, how can a loving God, you know, have eternal hell? Hey, I didn't write the book. God did. And God said that there is an eternal hell, friends. And Jesus loved all of us so much that he gave up all the worship of heaven to come down and be born in a dirty manger, to pay a legal bill that we could never pay. He paid our debt for us. And he died on the cross for us. He didn't pay a ransom to the devil. We had that call yesterday. No, it wasn't, it had nothing to do with that. It said, God's a legal God. And God does things right. And sin is a capital offense to God. That's why Jesus said, we must be born again. Are you born again today? I pray you are. Pray you've fallen in love with the Lord, realizing not only will God change your life, he'll change your friends. He'll change your personality. He'll change your habits. Man, Jesus can do anything. And the thing is, he does it from the inside out. It's not a gotta do anymore. It's, wow, I want to do something that God wants me to do. Big difference. And so again, Pat, I think you're right on. I think that again, when you get the two basic elements wrong, and almost all cults do, Jesus to the cults is not God, and there's no eternal hell. The Mormons say Satan and Jesus are brothers, making Jesus a created being. Wrong again. He's God. He's always been. Then we find, again, the Mormon church believes of three levels of heaven. They completely twist the scripture where Paul says, I was caught up in the third heaven, and I beheld God in his glory. Well, heaven number one is where all people go. Heaven number two is where the good people go, the Jack Mormons, you know, the Christian people. But heaven number three is where you go if you've gone through all the requirements set forth in the Mormon church, and you will become a God yourself someday of your own planet. Really, the same lie that Satan told Eve in the garden. Tragic. And people buy into this because they won't read God's word. They'll go to Book of Abraham. They'll go to Doctrine of Covenants. They'll go to the New World version of the Bible. They'll go to a guru. Anything but the Bible. Isn't that weird? And then you look at the Bible as an example, John 3, for God so loved the world. He sent his only begotten son. If you believe on him, you won't perish, but have everlasting life. Instant salvation. You have the assurity of salvation, not progression, which they all teach by dietary laws and worshiping on Saturday and generating your own righteousness. No, we can't generate our own righteousness. The Bible says no good thing dwells in the flesh. Haven't you lived long enough, everyone, to know there ain't really no good in us? I like the old song. I think it was Roger Williams sang in the 60s. I remember a little kid, and part of one of the line was every lock that's not locked when no one's around. Trailers for sale or rent. You know, I look at that and I realize that we need to be born again. We need that. It's not within us to live righteously. And yet they believe if you keep the dietary laws, worshiping on Saturday, all these things, this will mean something. Friends, you are never saved by anything you do other than believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's the assurance of salvation. You see, I can't be manipulated by a cult. You can't either if you're really born again. Because here's the reason. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because of what Jesus did, not anything I did. Oh, but the cults don't want you to know that. You see, they want you to get out there and do a bunch of religious stuff, give all your money, and maybe you just might make it. Friends, that's not any assurance of salvation. Brad, your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, of course. And it's a real mark of Satan oftentimes in working through different cults is just that, is to deceive people into thinking that it's not the cross. It's not what Jesus did on the cross that's going to save them. That may help. That may be a starting point. But it's your works, and it's going to be your righteousness and your own pride of your own spiritual accomplishment that's going to get you to heaven or get you that highest heaven. You know, when I've talked to I talked to a Mormon once, and he was saying, I said, well, about the three heavens. And he said, yeah, the Christians are in the second heaven. I said, who's over the second heaven? He said, Jesus. I said, what about the first heaven? He said, well, that's Joseph Smith. Yeah. I said, you know, I don't know Joseph Smith, but I do know Jesus. And I want to be where Jesus is. So I'm going to stay a Christian because I want to be where Jesus is. I don't know Joseph Smith. I says, you know, I know he didn't die on the cross for me. So I don't know Joseph Smith. And they said, well, that's okay, because Jesus goes up and down between the second and the first heaven all the time to visit with people up there in the first. And I'm hearing him talk about this. Man. I said, this is like a religion a seven-year-old could have come up with. It makes no sense. But and then Jehovah's Witnesses, they knock on my door, and I ask them, I said, how do I get to heaven? I believe in Jesus? They go, yes. I said, that's what I need to do, put my faith in. They said, well, there's other things. I said, what's the other things? Well, you got to go door to door. Okay, what else? Well, you also have to do this and do what else? And do that and do this and do that. And finally I said, well, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says really clearly, for by grace are you been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then I started quoting other scriptures. I said, it seems like your religion doesn't match with the scriptures from the Bible. Do you think maybe you have it wrong? And I can see one of them started to look down and start to perplex, and they quickly stopped, ended the conversation, because they could tell I was influencing the rookie, if you will. But I think we as Christians, we need to stand by the word. And when they start adding on, you know, to see what Jesus did on the cross, we know there's something wrong. Completely goes against the word of God and the scriptures.
Amen. And so, no, I think you did great. I think you did great, Pat. Keep going.
Yeah.
I have had, real quickly, you know, I've learned about the semantics of it. You know, I told them I made a mistake saying, well, I'll prove you, you know, Jesus was not, you know, he wasn't, there's a difference between firstborn and first created. He was never first created. He was a creator. They said, well, you just committed the logical fallacy of assuming what you're trying to prove. I said, what? Quit squirming. Okay, if it can be shown this and that and the other. But it's just to get to the point, you've got to play the semantical game with them. But, you know, where they said, they talked about, well, Jesus was firstborn. I said, that is a rank, just like a first son. That's a rank. Where did it say he was the first creation? He was never created because he's eternal.
Right.
He cannot create eternity.
Pat, you're a Bible answer man. You're doing good. And you know, it's so amazing to me. And this is something, everybody listening, whenever you're dealing with anyone, I always approach it from this perspective. I'm here to, let's not discuss religion, okay? I'm not, in fact, that's even now, today, I don't want to talk about religion. I want to talk about truth. What is truth? What is something that would verify what you're saying is true? Now you've rewritten the Bible, I would say, to a Jehovah's Witness, many, many times. This 2013 is not their first revision, friends. They've been revising it a lot. And their teachings were that the Lord was going to come back, I think it was like 1931 or something, when they got their 144,000th member. Well, then they got their 144,000th and first member, 144,001, and now they had to rewrite again. And so now you're going to inherit the earth. So there's only 144,000, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, that are going to heaven. I have never read that anywhere in the Bible. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, Paul says. But they rewrite the Bible to suit their own belief. You can't do that. So I'm looking for truth. So I don't have to turn to them. And again, when you look at what the Bible says, this is why I believe it is so important that people understand that salvation is not by anything that we do. Well, I keep the Sabbath and I don't eat pork. Doesn't mean one thing. Not one thing. Not one thing. I'm sorry. We go to heaven because Jesus' blood was shed on the cross for you and me. And it's not by works of righteousness. Oh, look what I do. Lest any man would boast. Hey, good news, everybody. We get to go to heaven because God's good, not because I am. But I'll tell you something. If you're born again, You need to be clothed in his righteousness. How do you get that? How do you get that great suit? You just ask for it. Lord, clothe me in your righteousness. That's what makes us holy. Friends, nothing else. Pat, keep going. I want to send you out a couple books. And by the way, when you talk to any group, anyone, they will use words like Jesus, Heavenly Father, salvation, heaven, hell, all the different words that we oftentimes use with completely different definitions. Don't be snookered. Be smart. Pat, stay in line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs, okay?
Bless you.
God bless you too, Pat. Keep going. Let your light shine. And I'll send you out some more equipment that you'll really enjoy. By the way, a good place to go if you have a computer is 4witness.org. The number 4 and then the word witness, 4witness.org. And there's a lot of great information in sharing your faith with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses there. And I think you'll really enjoy that as well, Pat, okay?
Thank you very much.
Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Sharon, Arlington, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
How may we help?
Thank you. I'm a little heavy on the heart here. I just got news from my dad that my aunt, who was in a nursing home that my dad put her in directly from the hospital, has now been moved to a different nursing home, not associated, without his consent or permission. We've been told that a point of contact or person of our family, a cousin, is now who we need to talk to for any information on my aunt, where she is and her condition. I told my dad that, you know, the Lord is good and he only does good, and he will reveal where she is, but at the same time, we are just seeking for some type of legal counsel or advice. So what can we do to ensure that my dad, which is her only living, surviving sibling, not the cousin? So we're just a little confused as to how someone can skip over a living sibling and take over my aunt's mental and health care.
Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah. So is the cousin the son or daughter of your aunt?
No, my aunt had no children, no spouse, ever. Hmm.
Does your cousin been given guardianship by the court?
That's what we looked into and could not find any court case or document regarding my aunt's name or my cousin's name as a guardianship in family court. We reached out to social services to see what they could do for us. Even the nursing home. I mean, they're like cold-shouldering us. Oh, well, you need to speak to this person. We can't tell you anything.
Yeah. Did your aunt have a trust, a will or trust that included a power of attorney?
No, and that is the kicker there, Brad, is because my aunt was in a hospital emergency due to a decline in her health just all of a sudden. So my dad, who lives in California, came out to Texas, where I am and where my aunt was, to help get her situated into a nursing home for care. And he signed all the documents for her medical, her health, financial, everything directly with the hospital and put her into that nursing home. She's been there for at least 2 years, and now all of a sudden she's no longer there and we can't ask about her. And we have to be told to ask someone else, which the name given to us is happens to be our family cousin. My dad's cousin, first cousin, my second cousin.
Yeah. So is the cousin not talking to you, cooperating with you to give you information?
No, that's the issue, sir. Yes, we are not in communication and has not advised us of any of this.
Why is that the case? What's going on?
Well, then that's another window we're opening up, Brad, honestly speaking. You know, there was some tension regarding the care for my aunt that I expressed, my dad expressed, some other family members expressed that she wasn't being taken care of, and we wanted to help. Well, now everything's been shut down. Now my cousin won't talk to us, and now we find out, calling the nursing home, she's not there anymore.
Okay. Yeah, it's for your cousin to have that authority. I'm a little baffled. Maybe the state has a policy or laws that give authority to the next of kin that's residing within, you know, two counties or in the state, or maybe there's some kind of a limitation that afforded them to look to the cousin. But I'm not an expert in family law. So this is a bit perplexing. You really, unfortunately, I hate to advise you, but you're going to need to talk to a family law attorney who I think could give you that counsel. And specifically, actually, I would say also, even more importantly, maybe even a wills trust attorney to look into, because really it's a question of who has guardianship, who has the authority to make these determinations. So it's a little perplexing, and that's what I would do at this point. Just in the questions I answered, I asked you, I wasn't able to find an easy answer. So that's what I would do at this point. I would talk to an attorney that has expertise in wills, trusts, guardianship kind of issues. If you go to our website, pji.org, we have private attorneys. If it's unrelated to what we do, religious freedom, parents' rights, sanctity of life, you know, it's just an attorney directory. They're not going to do it without charge, because it's not related to what we do at PJI. But that may be a starting place. I know Christian Legal Society also has an attorneys directory that with Christian attorneys that you might be able to look up and find an attorney that could help you through that. But otherwise, I wish I could help you more, but that's sort of my limitations.
Yeah, it sounds like it probably has something to do with an inheritance or something. So. Anyway, Sharon, I would just certainly get some legal counsel, because you want to make sure that your aunt has the very best care that she possibly can have in these years of her life. And so, Father, may you give Sharon direction, the right people, and Lord, the right advice to do the very best for her family, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sharon, stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. And with that, we'll go to Brenda in California. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think a couple calls ago, you might have partially answered my question. I need to know how to answer my prodigal son. He was raised in the church, and come high school, he walked away. He's now close to 40 years old. And we were in the car today. I don't see him too often. We were in the car on our way to a funeral, and we got maybe 30 seconds away from our destination. And he says, you know what I can't wrap my head around? He goes, I don't understand. But he says, I was raised to know one God and one God only, and I thought that to be the absolute truth. I didn't know anything else. But there are a whole lot of other religions out there, and you mean to tell me that somebody else that was raised only knowing one God or one religion, not knowing anything else, that they're going to go to hell when they die? And with that, we reached our destination. I can't lie. I was a little bit glad, because I thought, I need some time to think about this. And then I thought, no, I need you to help me.
Well, that's why
I want to be able to.
Brenda, that's why we're here for you. And first of all, I'd ask the question, who is Jesus to him? And if he says, well, he was a great teacher, a good teacher, whatever, just say, have you ever really studied what Jesus said? Because Jesus in John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In that verse, Jesus categorically said, all the other religions of the world are bogus. So if we have to say, I don't believe that, then Jesus is not a good teacher. And if he's not a good teacher, we dismiss everything that he says. But then we still have the problem, the sin problem. How do we get rid of it? Well, you know, you got to burn it off with some bad karma. You got to do good works to get away. Well, how many good works do you got to do to know you made it? There is no assurance of anything. And so I believe it's really important And if you stay in line, I'll try to send you out. I think I have one left, a book called How Can We Know? And I'll try to get that to you, Brenda. I think it'll really help you in this. But remember, John 14:6. And Brad, thanks for being on. Look forward to being back with you. Again, Pacific Justice Institute. And Brenda, stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless you. Good night.
Or write us to Every Man an Answer. P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.